And we're holding on Kof Zayin, Omud Beis, the third line from the bottom. We've been discussing all this time about the din of Toyin Tainus Ganav, where Shomer claims that the object that he was supposed to be watching was stolen from him. And it turns out, we had so far various cases. We had cases where he's hired to pay kefil for that, because we're saying that, where there are cases where he's hired to pay kefil because it turns out that he himself is the ganav. Then we had cases where he's, then we had cases with, and primarily we're saying that he, he claimed that there was a gneva. He swore to that effect, and then it turns out that he himself had kept it. Then in that case, he's paying kate. Now, we have also been having the cases where he's chayav keren b'choymesh v'osham, where he swears falsely about something else. He swears falsely about anything else involving the claim, where then he's paying extra, but not a full 100% extra, as would be the case with kefil, but rather 25% extra as choymesh, plus he's bringing a korban asham. So now let's talk about how those two things play with one another. Boy Rami Bacham, Momen Hamachaiva Kefal Poitrim in Achoimish. Do we say that it's the money that makes him Chayav Kefal, the fact that he's Chayav Kefal for particular money, that's what patters him from the Choimish? Now we're going to have, Rashi points out, that we've learned earlier in the Masechta, when we were dealing in the seventh parak with all the dinim of Kefal and Tashlumei Abav Hamisha and all that, we learned over there that you never have both of them. You never have both Kefal and Chumash. And we also had earlier in our parak, we also had that if the person admitted, in order for him to pay Chumash, there also has to be that he admitted that he had done wrong, that he had sworn falsely. And if after the Edom came, is when he was Moida, then he's still paying Kefal because of the Edim, and he's bringing the Oshim as well. So what is it that impacts him from the Choymesh? Rami Vachama wants to know. Momen Hamachai the Kefal Poitim in a Choymesh. Is it fundamentally the fact that he owes money, that he owes Kefal, that impacts him from Choymesh? Or maybe the trigger really is the shvua that makes him chayav kefal. That same shvua would patter him from the choinish. And the Gemara says, what is the case? Heifi dami. What is the case that Rami Bachomer is asking about? So the case would be first he claimed that the thing was stolen, the nishba, and he swore about that. Because of a tontinus of Advanishva, then he changed his mind and said actually it wasn't stolen, but it was lost. It was lost. And Tosfos points out that we're talking about he's saying it was lost even before the time that I claim that it was stolen. So in other words, Tosfos points out, first of all, it has to be that the scenario is that first he claimed that it was stolen, and only then later on are we talking about a Tainas Ovad, because otherwise, we learned in the Gemara before, that said once he already swore, then Yossi Yedei Bailim, he was ready Yotze, his obligation to the owner by swearing, but the first Shavua, so therefore there wouldn't be a second Shavua in the first place. So what it means is, in other words, he's saying that when I swore that it was Nignav, it actually wasn't Nignav, I was making a mistake, it was actually Ovad. I should have sworn that it was Ovad, and instead I swore that it was Nignav. So now the question is, the Nishva, and again, he swears on that second claim as well, Ovo Edim HaKamaisa V'Hoda Basraisa. Now, Edim came and refuted the first claim that he made. So when he claimed to begin with and swore that it was stolen, now after the whole thing is over, then Adam came and said actually it never was stolen in the first place, and now he himself admits, and you know what, the truth is it wasn't lost either. When I said that it was lost originally and I should have sworn that it was lost rather than it was stolen, he's saying that itself also, that was that I was lying when I said that. Now Tosfos points out that the fact is, when Edom come and say, what do you mean? When Edom come and say that when they refute the first one that was stolen, means they say it's in his reshus. So automatically, aren't they also contradicting the second claim that he's saying that it was Ovad? So why are we even talking about the whole chumash is only when he admits on his own? And so Tosfos says that no, we're talking about that actually no. If he claims, unlike Tainas Ganev, if he claims Tainas Ovad, yes, if he's Moide, even after Edom came, he's still going to pay the Choymish. This that we're saying that he pays Kefal if it's after the Edom come, that would only be by Tainas Ganev, but Tosfos learns not necessarily by Tainas Ovad. So when he admits, so even though there were Edom before that, he's still going to be chayav b'chaymish. So now again, you have this situation over here that first he claimed the Tainas Ganav, then he claimed Tainas Ovad, and then the Edom refuted him on the Tainas Ganav, which makes him chayav for kefal, and he was moida on the Tainas Ovad, that he lied, and therefore that he should have to pay a chaymish. And the fact is, we said before, you never do both. You don't do both kefal and chaymish. So which one is it that's patuing him from chaymish? So Rami Bahama's question is, So how do we look at it? Moman ham chayav ke kefal poter me'achoymish. Do we say the fact that he's having to pay? So the question really would be, would he be chayav achoymish for that second shavuah or not? Would we say moman ham chayav ke kefal poter me'achoymish? The fact that he has to pay kefal, that itself patters him from choymish, and in that case he would be potter in this case because it's the same money after all, therefore, and he can't be paying kefal and chomish for the same money. Or maybe you look at it that it's the shvua that's mechayev him in one, pockets him from the other. And here it's two different shvuas. Here, after all, you have two different shvuas, one that it was stolen and one that it was lost. And the second one is not mechayev him kefal because if a person claims, when he claims Tainas Ovad, there's no Kefal involved. Kefal is only when he claims Tainas Ganev. So maybe to Chayiv Chumsha, maybe in that case he would be Chayiv Chumash. So maybe in that case he would have to be paying a Kefal plus a Kefal for the first one and a Chumash for the second one. Or maybe not, since it's all one object that he made the two claims about. So that's Rami Bahama's question. Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava says, come, we'll bring a proof from a Braisa. Suppose that a person says to somebody from the street, so we're not told, so before we've learned cases where he says to a shomer, or he says to somebody who found his aveda or whatever. Here we're talking about he goes over to essentially a random person, and he says, Heichan Shodi Shaganavda, where's my ox that you stole? And he says, I didn't steal it. So the one, the Teveya says, Mashbiachani, I'm gonna make you take a shvuah for that. But Oma Omen, and the other guy answers Omen, which thereby makes him chay, which now makes him as if he took the shvuah himself. But Edom Meidim Oso Shagonroi, meanwhile Edom in fact come and say that he did steal it. So it wasn't Sam a random guy, he had good reason to go over to him in the street in the first place. Anyway, Meshalom Tashlome Kefal. Then he pays Kefal because after all he's a Ganu. And if on the other hand, now that part actually, it actually points out that it doesn't really matter whether he swore or not. Either way, Edom come that somebody stole, he's chayav kefal. We're bringing the case that he swore because it's going to be relevant to the next part of the case. V'im hoida me'atzmai, namely that if it was moida on his own, without Edom, meshalom keren v'chomesh v'asham, then he pays the keren plus the chomesh and brings a korban asham. So Rava says, let's consider, v'hohocha Edom hu d'machayvei lekfeila, the Edom are the ones who are machayvim the kefal, because the shvua wouldn't make him chayv the kefal, and still, the Braise is saying, hoida me'atzmai ein, avol hoida achar Edom loy. So still the Braise is saying only when he was moida by himself is there a chomish. But if he was moida any time after the Edom came, then he's not chayev the chomish. So this would answer Rami Bachama's question. If you're going to say that it's only the shvua that's mechayev him in the kefal that patters him from the chomish, then in this case, Amai Hoda Acha Edim Loi. Then why, in this case, he swore, and then he admits after the Edim come, why wouldn't he be Chayev Chomish by that possibility? Mechti, let's consider, after all, this Shvua is not Chayev, is not making him Chayev the Capel, because he was Chayev the Capel either way, because once Edim came and said that he stole, then he's going to be chayav the kechel.
But not the chumash.
Well, that's the point. But we're saying, in other words, at that point, that shvua is not what's being machayav him. The kechel. The kechel is coming because of the edim. To chayav the chumash. Therefore, that shvua has not yet been used to be machayav him kechel. Therefore, by that possibility, it should pater him from chumash. And make him chayav for chumash as well as mechti hoshvula. Because it hasn't yet been used for the kefil. So we would say that he's in that, if you were going to say that, then the Braisa should say he's chayv a kefil because of what the Edim said, as well as a choymish because of what he himself said. Because this shrua, again, the whole point is, we're saying this shrua was really unnecessary up until this point. Once Edim came and said, it turns out retroactively that shavua was false and that it was unnecessary, because once Adam came and said that he stole, then you don't take a shavua on that anyhow. So that shavua, it turns out, had no implication as far as being mechayev and kefil. It only had and yet we're saying you don't take a chomish for it. Elalav shmamin a mamin a mechayev a kefil potayr to ben a chomish. That shows us that the first possibility that Rami Bachoma brought up about mamin versus shvur, it's the mamin that mechayev and kefil but patos him from chomish. So good shmamin, that proves it. So even in a case like this, where the shvua has not done anything at all, has had no bearing at all on the kefil, nevertheless it patters him from chomish when he was moida afterwards that it was a false shvua. So then applying that to Rami Bachoma's case, then yes, when he claimed tainas ganav and then claimed tainas ovad, etc., same thing. Even though we're talking about two different shvuas, and unlike here we're talking about one shvua, but it's still the same thing. The shvua that was mechayev him kefil for tainas ganav is not the same one. That's mechayev him, not the same one that would have been mechayev him chomish, namely tainas obad. And yet we say that he's not going to be paying a kefil as well as a chomish. He's only going to be paying because it's all the same mamon. Therefore, he's going to be paying only kefil, not the chomish. So that proves the whole point. Rashi also adds, by the way, in here before when we were asking about the question whether the shvur that is mechayev and kefil patters him from chomish, Rashi points out, earlier in the Gemara we have the expression yotzi yedei bailim b'shvur rishona, that once he took the first shvur already, he was yotzi his obligation to the owner. Rashi points out the difference is that there that was talking about when you said we had a case of a shomer where he claimed that it was ovad, or he claimed that there was an onus or whatever, and he swears on it, and we say yotzi yedei bailim b'chayav rishona. But now we're talking about something else over here. In the end, so where do you have when Edim came before the case that we had before on Kuf Vav Amud Beis and Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, when we talked about that, this Yotzi they buy the Shavur Rishona, is where Edim came and said that the Shavur was false. But here we're talking about that he was Moida himself, and the fact is, when it comes to a Chomish and when it comes to an Oshem, it doesn't matter. And there also, we said, in order for him to be Chayav Kefil, it has to be that the Dayonim would be swearing him. When it comes to the Chomish and when it comes to the Oshem, it doesn't matter whether it was his own Shavur or whether it was a Shavur of Dayonim. So that's why the Gemara didn't bring in the point over here, Rashi says, about Yotzi did buy them the Shavur Rishona, because not really relevant over here. But we do see from this last Braisa that where you have a Shavur, which turns out was not necessary because the Edom anyway are testifying that he stole it, then we're saying he's paying only a Keren and not Chomish. So that shows that in a similar case, you never say there was going to be a Kefil and Chomish for the same moment. Boy, Ravina. Now Ravina has another question, also involving the Chomish and the Kefil. Boy, Ravina. Chomish for Kefila b'trei Gavri, Mai. What would happen if you have the Chomish and the Kefil involve two different people? Mai. What would be the din then? Is it possible, in other words, that there can be the same gneva where one person is chayav kefil and the other one is chayav and the other one is chayav chomish? So we just established, based on what Rava is saying, that the same person himself can't be chayav for both kefil and chomish. But is it possible, Ravina is saying, that maybe you can have two different people in the same gneva where one of them is paying one and the other is paying the other? What do we mean by that? Hechidami. A person gave a shirt to two people to watch, and both of them claimed that it was stolen. Now, one of them had nishba v'hoida. One of them swore that it was stolen, and later on he was moida that he stole it. So therefore, having been moida, he's chai v'chaymish. V'chad nishba bo edim, and the other one swore, and edim came and said that he's the one who stole it. So now he's chayav kefil. Tosfos points out, by the way, it would have to be that the first one was moida before the edim came about the second one, because otherwise, if one of them is koifer, Tosfos points out, and edim come, and then the other one is moida, then they're both going to be chayav kefil, because the edim are saying about both of them, when one of them was moida first. Now, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, Tosfos points out, we had a statement of Rav back in the 7th parak, Moidu v'knasva. We had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel on this, actually. Moidu v'knasva achakach bo edim potter. When a person admits that he's chayiv knas, and later on edim came and say that he's chayiv in that very same knas, is he chayiv or potter? And we had before Rav saying that he's potter, and Shmuel saying that he's chayiv. Now, usually, by the way, in Machlokas and Dinim Mominus, usually the halacha is like Shmuel, but this is one of those cases where the halacha is like Rav, at least in most cases. So since Moedib Knasva Chakach Bo Edim Potter, then therefore that drives our case over here. One of them was Moedib, and therefore when the Edim come, then we ignore the fact that they're in effect, when they're testifying, after all, they're saying both of them are lying, but it doesn't matter. One of them is already Moedib, and therefore he's Potter from the Knas of the Kefil, but on the other hand, he admitted to his false Shavua, and therefore he's Chayav Chomish. So that's the question. Do we say only by one person is the Torah Machbid that you shouldn't make him have to pay a chomesh as well as a kefil? But in this case over here, we're talking about two different people. So therefore, hain neshalim kefil v'hain neshalim chomesha. So there's no problem. One of them can be paying a kefil and the other one can be paying a chomesh. Or maybe the Torah is being machbid on one claim of money, that you shouldn't pay a chomesh and a kefil for the same money, and here, after all, it is one thing of money, it is one animal or one object or whatever, so therefore maybe we would say that even so, one of them is paying the kefil, but maybe the other one is not required to pay the chomesh in that case. And the Gemara says teiku, we can't be sure about that, which the result is, as usual, with a teiku and dinim mominus, It would mean that we can't require him to pay. We certainly can't require him to bring a korban osham, because it would be a suffix whether he's chayiv in that osham, and that could be chul and balzara. But as usual, we would say that if the nigzal, whatever the owner of the animal goes and is toifus that money, then you can't take it away from him the chomesh, because maybe he is. So actually, it's the other way around, really. It's a given the other way around. It's a given that he's going to have to get the chomesh. But not necessarily the kefil, again, unless the Bala Pikodin is able to grab the kefil, then he can keep it. And we'd see in the yodah, because again, we'd have to show that the halacha is that he doesn't get the kefil, and we can't show it in that case. And as far as the Rambam doesn't mention the point of the osham, but it seems obvious that he can't bring the osham because it might be chul and bazar.
What if you have 10, if you have 10 shomrim, and then you have 80, all 10 of them have to be kefil?
If all of them were involved in the Geneva, then all of them are swearing to it, then Rabash goes, yeah.
Because the owner gets off pretty good.
The owner, we get a nice bonus from it, yeah. Okay. Fine. Next. Boira papa, tre chumshi, a tre kfeli b'chad gavramai. What about, is there a case where you could have where the same person, so far we've established, that the same person doesn't pay Kefal and Chomesh. And as far as one person paying Chomesh and the other Kefal, we left it at Tefu. What about, here's another one. Trei Chomshia, Trei Kfeli, B'chad Gavra Mai, what about if you have two Chomeshes or two Kefals from the same person because of one monetary claim, because of one Pekodin or one neighbor or whatever, Mai, what would be the din? Heichidami, what is the scenario? Shatan Tainus Ovad. So let's start with he claimed that it was lost, which the Nishban, he swore. And again, so far that would make him potter, because either we're talking about a Shem Chinam and he's potter for Aveda, or we're talking about a Shem Sachar, and when we mean Ovad, the list in Mizuyan, that it was stolen from him by an armed robber or something, which would be an onus. The Nishba, and he swore about that. The Hoida, and later on he admitted that he lied. So far then he would be chayev and Keren Chomish Valsham. Now, Tosfos actually says the word Behoida does not belong over here. Because if he's Moida, that he swore, then already it comes out, he's Chayiv and Onsin from when he swore, and now when he's going to claim again Ovad, as the Gemara is going to continue to say, then you can't say that he was Kofar on anything at all. So therefore Tosfos takes out the word Hoida over here. In fact, Tosfos also wonders what Rapapa's question is, because we had a Mishnah that we quoted before that says that if it was Meshaviah him multiple times, then he's chayev a chomish for everyone. So why is Rapapa wondering whether it's possible to pay multiple chomshin for one thing? The Or Sameach actually gives an explanation, even with the gear that we have over here, that he was Moida, as soon as it turns out that he swore falsely, then he becomes as Tosfos had said. Now at that point he's chayiv and onsin. Nevertheless, he still has the actual object in his hand, and therefore he can be chayiv and a chomish for that. So we could still keep the girsa hoida. So then because of the Tan Tainas Ovad, then again he claims the same Tainas Ovad. The Nishba, and he swears about that, the Hoda, and then he admits that second Shvor was false as well. So he did swear falsely multiple times. Now, so Tosfos had asked the question, actually, that what do you mean? Then why is Rapapa asking the question? If we have a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos that talks about that case, which we quoted a few days ago in the Gemara, the Rosh explains the differences there. We're talking about he wasn't Moda between them. So Reuben says, where is my shur? And Shimon says it was lost. Mashbiach ani va'amamen. And then again, later on, Reuben says to him again, Mashbiach ani, and again he says amen, and so forth. And then this can be either inside or outside Beistin, because if you're mechayev him in a chomesh, you don't need in Beistin. And later, Mashbiach ani means I'm making you swear. I'm putting a shvur on you, yeah. And then at the end, later on, he's moida that he, at the end, he, later on, he's moida that he lied by all those shavuos. So that would be the case with Mishnah is talking about in shavuos that he's chayev a separate chomish for each one. Here we're talking about that he's moida in between. Now again, Tosfos, who doesn't have the girsa that he's moida in between, has the question. Then in this case, this is the same as the Mishnah. But the Rosh keeps the girsa hoida, like we have it in the Gemara over here, and so he explains that he was moida individually after every shavua. Then there's also the Torah Chayim makes a point that the difference is also there the Mishnah is talking about the korban, here we're focusing on the chomish. Anyway. So you can have a case again where he made the same claim multiple times, and each time he was moida in between that he lied, and nevertheless he does the same thing again. Inami, or another example, Rapapa's question would be, Gunchaton Tainus Ganav and Nishba, he claimed Tainus Ganav and swore on it, Ubo Adim. Adim came and said that in fact he took it himself. Because of a ton Tainus Ganav and Nishba, and then again he claimed Tainus Ganav. It's true regarding the first time that I swore, it was in fact a lie because it was in my Rishus, as the Edom are saying. But now later on, in fact, it was truly stolen from me. Tosfos points out in that case that once he swore the first time, then already he's chayev and onsin, and therefore it comes out that he's not really being paid for anything the second time, because anyway he's going to be chayev to pay. And so Tosfos points out that what happens is, listen, The Baal Pekodin says to him, listen, it's true you lied the first time. Nevertheless, I want you to be a shomer for this again. And so he gives it to him again and tells him, you know what? It's true. You messed up last time. He claimed Tainus Ganav and he sworn it. Nevertheless, I'm still willing to trust you, whether because he's naive, whether he wants to truly give him another chance, whatever. It's not really Nageya what his motivation is. And he does that. And now, after that, he says that after that second time that you reappointed me a Shema Chinam, then it was Nignav. So now the fact that he lied the first time was not Machayev him in Onsen the second time, because he explicitly told him, you're going to be a Shema Chinam again. So that could be the case. Tosfos explains where he has the opportunity to claim Tainus Ganav and to swear on it twice.
The first time he's not.
So again, the first time already he was chayiv and onsin at that point from the first shvura, and therefore, if at that point he would again say Tainus Ganav, nothing would happen because he's already chayiv from the first time. Because Tainus Ganav wouldn't pater him, the owner would say, tough luck, Tainus. What do you mean, Tainus Ganav? The fact is, you're chayiv in onsin after the first shvura, and therefore you're chayiv to pay even if it is true that this time it was stolen. What we're talking about, Tosfos says that he actually reappointed him as a Shemachinam after all of that.
But how can he take a Shvua after he's already proved that he's a
You could say, for example, he did Tshuva in between. You could say that he did Tshuva in between, oh. and yeah. Anyway, the Tosfos Reed gives a different answer as well, which is, we learned earlier in the Gemara, we had the opinion of Rav Chiya bar Yosef, who says that when Toyin Tainus Ganav, Rav Chiya bar Yosef had said that when he's Shaleach Boyad, that when he misused, when he took the Pekodin and used it for himself, that is when he's Chayav Kefil, and otherwise not. So by the same token, then we're going to say over here that even though he was found a Gazlan the first time, that would be, he could still conceivably be Chayav and Kefil the second time. So now the Papa asks, in these cases, what is the din? Is he chayav another kefil? Mi amin trei gavnim amoyna kam rachmana? Do we say that the Torah is saying only when there's two types of things, the chomesh versus kefil, that the Torah is saying, dolanishtalmu ilove chad mamoyna, you shouldn't have to pay both kefil and chomesh for the one case, for the one thing of money? Well, in that case, hocha chad gavnahu. In this case, though, it's two of the same thing. Two chomeshes or two kefils. Maybe the Torah doesn't mind that he does that. Maybe Rachmana really means that we always translate Rachmana as the Torah, really means Hashem himself. Maybe Hashem, the merciful one, is saying that you should never have to pay two types of mammon, that you shouldn't have to pay for one mammon, therefore here would be two payments of mammon, two kefils or two chomishes for the same thing, so maybe then in that case he would in fact be potter for the second kefil in the case of Toyin Tainus Ganav, or for the second chomish in the case of Toyin Tainus Alba. As far as your question that the Tosfos addresses your question as far as is he possible for the Shavua once he lied on the first one. So actually, Tosfos gives a different answer. Not that he did Tshuva in between, but we're talking about over here that this whole concept of Choshed al Shavua, that if a person is suspect of swearing falsely, we don't allow him to swear, that's only Dirabban. Daraisa, he would still be kosher. So therefore, so he can still, when he swears that second time, it's still a valid Shavua to the extent that he can be chayiv and a kefil for it. If we say that he can be chayiv two kefils for the same moment. So the Gemara answers Tashma. Let's prove the Omar Rava. Rava explains that when the pasuk says Vachamishi Soi Yosef Olav, or read Vachamishi Sov, it says in the pasuk, it says that he adds his fifths to it. That means that Torah ribs the Chamishis Haber the Keren Achas. That means the Torah is adding that yes, you can have multiple Chamishios for one Keren. That yes, the same way as we had before. For example, the quotation from the Mishnah in Shavuos that we learned a few days ago. That says that he can be nishba over and over on the same thing, and eventually he's chayav multiple chomishes for one thing. And here again, even we're talking about he was moida between one and the other, or even we're talking about that there were edim between one and the other. In the case of Gneva, nevertheless, he's going to be chayav. Yes, he can be chayav multiple chomishes for one keren. So say for example, the original keren was the original Keren was 100, let's say, and each time he swore that it was Ovad, and each time, and then eventually, or between one and the other, whatever, he's moida that it was a lie, then he's going to be paying 100 plus each time for each shvur, another 25, another chomish. And so, therefore, we see the Torah doesn't mind him paying the multiple chomishes for one keren, and by the same token, now, so you have the Rashba points out that actually there still may be a suffix as far as two kefils. We see clearly from that he's paying two multiple chomishes for one keren. Would the same din apply to multiple kefils, namely the case that Rapapa asked about as far as Gneva? Maybe not necessarily. But, or the other way of looking at it is once we enter as far as chomishes, then yes, the same thing would apply as far as kefils as well. The Rambam and the Rashba say that, the Rashba points out rather that you do have, he brings from Rabbeinu Hananel that it's still a question as far as, and then from the Ravid, that it's still a question as far as the Kefil. But we proved at least Chomish, there can be multiple Chomishes for one Kevin. Okay. Now comes a case which is really more relevant to Bava Metzia. In Perek HaMafkid, in Bava Metzia, we learn about the case where a person is mafkid, a mafkid etz chaver behemah kelim. The Gemara is going to quote the Mishnah soon, and it turns and the shomer claims that it was lost, and now as a shomer chin, not lost, that it was stolen. As a shomer, well, nivnu oisha avu is how the Mishnah says it over there. Whatever. The shomer, being a shomer chinam, has the option to swear that he's telling the truth, and then he was going to be potter, as usual, for a shomer chinam. Instead, he decides to pay. So the Mishnah says over there that now, if we catch the ganav, and he pays the kefil, then he's going to be paying that kefil to the shomer. And the Gemara discusses over there on what grounds is the shomer getting that kefil, how exactly was he coining that kefil in the first place, and various other details about that. So now, on the other hand, the Mishnah said over there that if he swore to pater himself, then when the ganav is caught, then he pays the kefil to the owner. So now we're going to have a machlokas that relates to that case. Now, what is it doing over here in Bava Kama rather than in Bava Metzia? So the Shittim HaKubetzis brings from Tosfos Shantz that since we've been dealing with all these different cases involving ganav and Torentinus ganav and kefil and everything else, so therefore the Gemara sticks this one in here as well rather than waiting for Bava Metzia. The Tosfos Yud gives a different point. He says, earlier in our sugya, we've been discussing that you have the cases where a shomer takes a shvua, and the result of that shvua is that, the result of that shvua is that, in a sense, he's not considered a shomer anymore. Now he becomes a gazlan, and now we said he's chayav ba'onsin. So the same way over here, we can say that his shvua maybe takes away the din of the shomer. The case we're going to be talking about over here in the Gemara is where he swore, but then he went and paid anyway. And Abaya is going to be saying that in that case, he's no longer considered a shomer. He no longer gets the kefil. So the Tosfos Yud points out there is a direct connection then with everything we've been saying in the sugya so far, because we've been talking about where he swore falsely that he becomes now a gazan and a schayabon. Well, Abaya can say by the same token, if he swears truthfully, nevertheless, he's no longer a shomer, and therefore the special din that as a shomer he should be entitled to the kefil may not apply. So that would be another reason why the Gemara brings this point over here in Bava Kama rather than waiting for Bava Metzia. So the case is as follows: Tavul Bailin L'Shomer. The owner of the object takes the Shomer to Beis Din and not even takes him to Beis Din yet. He demands from him, "Where's my pekodim?" The Nishva, and the Shomer says it was stolen, and I'm swearing on it that it was stolen or lost, as the case may be, whatever it is that would pater him with a shvua. The shilim, then he said, you know what, it's true that I said that it was lost or stolen, and therefore I'm potter, and I even swore from that. Nevertheless, I'm going to go to Fnim Meshuras Adin, and I'll pay you anyway. V'hukar Avganav, and now we find the Ganav. Kefil l'mi, so who does the kefil go to? Now, if he hadn't sworn, if he had just paid, then it's clear from the Mishnah in Bava Metzia and Hamafgid that it goes to the Shomer. If he had sworn and never paid, then it's clear that it goes to the Balabas. But here he did both. He swore and then he paid. So now, which one is now, what do we do with the kefil? Abaya omel abala pekodin, rova omel amisha pekodin etzle. Abaya says in that case, the kefil is going to go to the owner of the object, and rova says it's going to go to the one by whom the pekodin is, or rather who it was, because at this point it's not by him anymore, but whatever, meaning to the shomer. Abaya omel abala pekodin. Abaya says it's going to go to the owner of the pekodin, given to atzrechei b'shvua, because since he was matriachim, in the case of the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, he wasn't matriachim. Shilin v'loyrotzi lishova. The Mishnah says over there, he paid, he didn't want to swear. So he wasn't matriach, the owner, to take him to Beis Din in order to swear, so therefore we can say that he's machne him the capable, as the Gemara discusses over there. But here, given the atzeche shvua, he was matriach him to make him take a shvua. Loi machne lekfela. Then Abaya figures in that case, then the owner is not willing to give him the capable anymore. The Gemara discusses over there what's the mechanism by which he's machne him the capable. Is it that? He says to begin with, when he gives him the animal, if this animal ends up getting stolen from you and you're willing to pay and we find the ganav, then I'm being machne you the animal as of now, or is it I'm being machne to you the animal shortly before it gets stolen? And the Gemara discusses nafkaminas a bit over there. Anyway, the point is, Abaya is saying he's not necessarily willing to do that if he was matriach him to go for shvua in the first place, even though afterwards he paid. Rav Amar Mishap Pekod and Etzle Kivin Deshilin Machne Like Feila, because the fact is in the end he didn't pay, so therefore he's willing to be machne him the capable. Now Tosfos points out actually there in Hamaskid you actually have a case where a person was supposed to pay and he didn't want to pay, and Rav Nachman wound up having to confiscate his mansion from him in order to pay for it, and then later on the object was found, etc. And Rava had said over there that Rava had said that once he was matriachim to Beis Din, then we can't say that he should get the capel anymore. And here Rava seems to be saying differently. The difference is, in other words, Tosfos says there not only was matriachim to Beis Din, but he didn't end up paying until Rav Nachman confiscated his mansion. Here, at least, he was matriachim to Beis Din, and he made him take a shvua. But in the end, he did pay, so it wasn't such a teucha. Therefore, Rava says that's different, and in fact, he could be earning the capel for that. And the Gemara points out the kamiflig be diyuka de masnissin. Now, actually, you can say that the two of them, that Abaya and Rava, are actually arguing regarding the diyuk of the Mishnah. The Tanan, namely, the Mishnah says, "Dei unbav metzia, machked et chaver behema kalim." A person is machked by somebody else, an animal or kalim, the nigna roi sha'avdu, and they were stolen or lost, or at least he claims that they were stolen or lost. Shilim v'leirotzer lishava, he paid, and he doesn't want to swear, because even though shari amur shemachinam nishba v'yotze, now he could. The Chachamim tell us that he could swear that it was nigna v'obad, and he would be yotze because he's a shemachinam. And then nimtzah ganav. And by the way, the Rashba adds a detail over here. Even if he was pesheah, and then he is actually chayav to pay, but the fact is, you can still say he has a migri because he didn't have to say pesheiti. He could have said nigna v'avad or whatever. So therefore, and then the Mishnah continues, nimtzah ganav. If then we find the ganav mashalim tashlumei kapel, then that ganav is paying tashlumei kapel tovah hamachar. And if he shechted or stole it mashalim tashlumei abav hamisha, then he's paying the abav hamisha, as we learned extensively earlier in the Masechta. Lamihu mashalim, and who is he paying? Lamihu mashalim, lamishap pekodin etzlei to the shomer by whom the pekodin was. But the Mishnah continues, Nishba v'leirotzer l'shalim. On the other hand, if he swore but did not want to pay, v'nimtza aganav, and then we find the ganav, meshalim tashlum ekepel, and he's paying tashlum ekepel, tova chomocha meshalim tashlum abav chamisha, and if he shechted or sells it, he's paying tashlum abav chamisha, l'mihu meshalim, in that case, who is he paying? L'bal ha-pikodin, to the owner of the pikodin. So you have those two cases.
To the
original owner, because here we're talking about that the shomer was nishba v'leirotzer l'shalim, he patted himself with the shvua.
Right.
So now we have those two cases in Mishnah: one where he paid and did not swear, and the other one where he swore but did not pay. Now we have a case in our Gemara over here. We have both: he swore and then he paid. So which one takes precedence? Abaya dayik mereisha, Rava dayik m'seifa. Abaya is going to point out the deal from the Reisha that we have that the Reisha is saying specifically when he paid, does he get the capel, or specifically when he didn't want to swear, does he get the capel, but here he swore. So therefore, the Rava died with Sefer, and Rava is going to be Madayat from the Sefer and say that the fact is he did pay. Abaya dayak mereisha k'tani shilim l'irotza l'shava. Abaya is going to say, look, the Mishnah is saying that he paid, he didn't want to swear, time of the l'irotza l'shava. Why is he getting the capel? Because he didn't want to swear. Oh, nishva. But if he did swear, apapisha shulim, even though later on he paid, lamima shalom balapikodin. Nevertheless, he's still going to be paying the balapikodin. So, because he was matriachim in a shavua. So therefore, Abaya is saying, that's where I'm getting that he's going to be chayev, that he's not that he's going to chayev, that the shomer is not going to be getting the kefil in that case, because after all you can't say v'loy rotzali shava because he was nishma. Rava daik misefer, whereas Rava on the other hand is going to learn from the sefer nishba v'loy rotzali shalom, where it says he swore and he didn't want to pay. Time of the loy rotzali shalom. Why is he not getting the kefil in the sefer? Because he didn't want to pay. Hoshilim, implying that if he paid, Afafisha Nishba, even though previously he had sworn, Lamima Shalom, Mishrach, Kot Netzli, then the Ganav would pay to the Shomer who had been watching the thing. So it's a matter of which part of the Mishnah we're Medayik from. Okay, well, the question is, Labaya Tasha Sefer. Well, the question is, how exactly is Labaya going to understand the Sefer? Again, Rava is saying that since it says, Nishba Vole Rotza L'Shalim, so then the implication would be that once he wanted to pay, then he should get the kefil. And Abaya is saying, no. How does Abaya understand that deal from the Mishnah? Amalach Abaya, Chochi Kadani. Nishba v'lo rotzal shalom kodem ashvur el al-ach ashvur. What the Mishnah would mean, says Abaya, it means, the Sefer would mean, Nishba, and when it says v'lo rotzal shalom, doesn't mean he never wanted to pay. It means he didn't want to pay before the shvur el al-ach ashvur. He only decided, after the shvur, you know what, I'll go pay. So then, let me mashal on Bala Pekodin, so then you pay the Bala Pekodin. So Abaya is saying, the Sefer, the Diuk is not that eventually, the Diuk is not whether he wanted to pay or not. The Diuk is, did he want to pay before the Shavua, or is it only after the Shavua that he said, I'm going to pay? And even in that case, then he's not getting the table. On the other hand, and then the Rava Kasha Reisha, what about according to Rava, the Reisha is difficult to understand, because according to him, how is it saying, Shilin v'lo rotzali shava, implying that once rotzali shava, then already he doesn't get the kefil anymore. Omalach Rava, Hachi Katani. Rava would say what the Mishnah is, what the Mishnah means. Shilin, in the first part of the Mishnah, he paid v'lo rotzali lamoid b'shvuasi. Now he did previously swear, so he didn't want to stand on his shvua. He didn't want to say, well, I did swear, therefore I'm potter, and that's that. But rather he changed his mind and said, you know what, it's true that I swore, but nevertheless, I decided I'm actually going to pay. Still, the Mishnah is saying, then still he, the Shomer, gets the kefil, because after all, he did pay. So both Abaya and Rava have ways of explaining the diuk of the Mishnah in a way that it doesn't contradict them. As usual, when we have Machlokas Abaya and Rava, as usual, except for the cases Yalka Gam and the Halacha is like Rava, and that's how it is over here. So regardless, as long as he paid, he's getting that paid. Okay. Now let's talk about some other cases involving the Shomer and the owner and the Ganim. How about Tavuhu Bailim LaShomer? What if the original owner asks the Shomer, give me back the Bikodin, the Nishba, and he swears that it was stolen, at which point he's potter, the Hukar Ganav, and then in fact we find the Ganav, we catch the Ganav, the Tovay Shomer Vahoida. Now the Shomer says, says to the Ganav, I had to pay out because of you. So now you're the Ganav, admit that you stole and pay me. And he admitted to that. Now the original owner comes to that same Ganav and says, I'm told that you stole this animal. Admit it. And he was koifer. And the original owner brought Adim. The question basically is the Shomer considered the owner of this animal or not? Now you have like this. After all this that we've been talking about these last few days involving Shavuos and all is all when the Ganav is moida to the Balamum. If you have, for example, if I have an item that was stolen and you who have no business with it go over on a Mashviya the Ganav to admit that he stole it and he swears to that, nothing happens in terms of kefil, nothing happens in terms of choymish either really, because you're not a Baal Din over here. So the question is, basically, is the owner considered over here a Baal Din? Or is the Shomer considered a Baal Din? So the question is, mean nifter Ganav Hajas Shomer, does the Ganav become potter from Kefil because he admitted to the Shomer? Is the Shomer considered his Baal Din for that purpose? Loy nifter Ganav Hajas Shomer. Or maybe not, because, maybe, Maybe not. Maybe the fact is that the Shomer, we can say, once the Shomer swore already, then he's not considered the Shomer anymore. At that point, it's called Kolsa Shmira. So his Shmira is over. So therefore, when the Ganav is Moja to him, it's the equivalent of being Moja to some random person, and therefore that wouldn't factor him from Kepel. So that's the question. Tosfos asks, the Gemara could have asked as far as the Keren itself, and the reason is the Keren, obviously, because the reason is because the Gemara's answer is not going to really work as far as the Keren. So therefore, the Gemara to begin with presented the question as far as Kepel.
So once the Shomer,
the Shomer involved over here is the Shomer again is he swore.
He's now, out of the picture.
He's out of, that's the question. He's out of the picture, but on the other hand, is he? Do we say, can the Shomer still be considered his Baal Din? Because after all, he was watching the animal when it was stolen from him, versus we would say that maybe not. Once he was Nishba already, then he's out of the picture.
What could he do with Baal Din, let's say?
Well, that's the question. In other words, the Nafkamin would be whether the Ganav's Hadar to him is enough to pater him from Kepel. Because we've been saying all along, once the Ganav is Moida, then he's Potter from Kepel. Moida Beknas, even though Achakach Bo Edim, then he's Potter. But in this case, he was Moida to a different person than the one who brought the Edim. So that's the question. Does that pater him from the Kepel or not? Omar Rava. So Rava says the answer is going to be like this. It depends whether the Shomer himself, what was the nature of his Shvor. Im be'emes nishba, if the Shomer had sworn truthfully that it was in fact, that he claimed that it was stolen from him, and in fact it was, nifter ganav, nifter ganav, Shomer, then actually the ganav will be potter when he admits to the Shomer. Because Rashi explains, once we find that the Shomer had sworn truthfully, then a non-sadi, we can affect the Edim, that if the animal had still been there, original owner of the animal would have preferred it to stay in his possession. So therefore, that makes the Shomer responsible to go find the animal. So therefore, when he goes and looks for the Ganav and finds him and says, hey, you ganved this animal, what's this, admit it and pay up. And the Ganav admits to him, then he is a valid Baal Din. Because what we're saying is, you don't say, in other words, Rava is saying in that case, well, he swore, and in that case, he's Potter, and that's that, he's no more Baal Din. No, because he swore truthfully that, and was saying that the owner would have preferred that he actually continues to hold on to it. So therefore, in effect, in that sense, he's still a Shomer. So therefore, Nifter Agana, by Dar Shomer, the result is that now
we're...
In be'emes nishba nifra gana b'adras shomer. If the shomer had sworn truthfully, then yes, he's still considered a baal din, and therefore when he confronts the ganav and the ganav admits to him, then yes, he will be potter from the kefil because of that, because it's considered that he was moida to a baal din. In be'sheker nishba, on the other hand, if the shomer had sworn falsely, loy nifter agana by John Shomer, then, so now, in other words, so he claims that, so he claims, the Rashi gives examples, he claims any of the things that a shomer chinam would be potiful, mesa, nishba, but oynes, and it turns out that not like that, now it turns out he's a liar. Anan sadi, therefore we can act as edim, we can be sure that the owner would not have wanted him to remain a shomer on it. Therefore, he's not the Baal Din anymore. He's considered, once he swore, he's out of the picture, and therefore, lo nifter ganav by Das Shomer, lo nifter ganav by Das Shomer, therefore the ganav is not going to be potter anymore because he admitted to the Shomer, because the Shomer, we would say, is actually out of the picture at this point. So that would be the distinction, whether we see that the Shomer himself swore truthfully or not. Tosfos Rav Eira Peretz makes a different point as well. If he swore truthfully, he wants to be able to prove that his shvua was a true one. So therefore, he's going to be going and looking for the ganav, and therefore he's considered a baal din. If he swore falsely, he doesn't want to find the ganav because then that'll expose his whole lie. So therefore, we can say that. So therefore, he's not considered a baal din. Then there's actually a girsa that the Ramah, the Shittim Kubetis, brings from the Ramah, Rashi himself brings a different girsa. Rashi brings a girsa the other way around. There's a girsa that if he swore truthfully, then the Ganav is not Potter, and the reason is because once he swore truthfully, then already the Shomer is out of the picture. He doesn't have a responsibility to look for the Ganav anymore. If he swore falsely, well, then he was Pesheya. Therefore, the Ganav will be Potter by being murdered to him because the Shomer still has the responsibility to pay. Rashi says, though, I don't like that second Girsa, because the Gemara is going to continue with a case where Rob is going to ask, what about if he planned to swear falsely, but he didn't, but loyhi nichu, they didn't let him swear. What would be the din? Now, if you're going to say that, if he actually swore, then already he's not considered the shomer anymore. How much more so when he didn't actually swear yet? So there'd be no room for that second question of the Gemara. Therefore, Rashi says we should stick with the girsa as we have it in front of us, that if he was swearing truthfully, the ganam is potter, and if not, then the ganam is chayim. On the other hand, the Rama defends that other girsa, and he says the vort is that if again, if he swore truthfully, then the shomer is potter from his chiyuv to the owner anymore. He has no business with this pikadon anymore. Therefore, he has no business going and confronting the ganav at all. And therefore, when the ganav is murdered to him, then it's not a hoidah. But if he's claiming falsely that he wasn't pasheya, and really he was, he himself is a gazlan. He himself is kohen the pikadon and is chayiv and onsin. Therefore, now he's a baal din of the ganav to say, well, you stole my animal, and therefore now the ganav will be potter from kafel if he's moida to him. Okay. So that would deal with the question about what about the next case where he's about to swear falsely and he didn't, because according to the Rama, it's not really relevant. We're talking about that once he swore falsely, he himself becomes a gazan. So that's the question. There's the answer to the question. It depends whether he was swearing truthfully, whether the shomer swore truthfully or falsely. Again, according to the girsa we have in front of us, which Rashi prefers, if he swore truthfully, then he is considered the baal din, and the ganav being moided to him is a valid hadar. And if he had sworn falsely, then not. And again, the Rama has the girsa the other way around. Boy, Rava, here's another question. Rava asks, Omar the shav b'sheker v'loyhi nichu. What about if the shomer was going to swear falsely, but they didn't let him? So the owner, for example, it could be the owner didn't let him swear. And obviously the owner didn't know at the time whether he's going to be swearing falsely or truthfully. What we're talking about, in other words, let's say the owner, Tosfos, by the way, also deals with the girsa that Rashi rejects. Tosfos point, and Tosfos also explains that there's a way of defending it. So the difference is here where he didn't allow him to swear in the first place, he wasn't moichel to him, so therefore the shomer is not potter from that. So here he's saying, in other words, lohi nichu, he can say, for example, you know what, I don't need your shavua. Fine, I'm willing to let you go without taking the shavua. Then afterwards, and then later on, and he's moida, that in fact he himself took it. Mahu, what would be the din? The fact is he didn't swear falsely, so therefore maybe later on when the ganav admits to him, then the ganav is potter from kafel. Or once he was planning to swear falsely, then already that takes away his nemonus, and now therefore he can't be considered his shliach he can't be considered a baal din anymore to have the ganav admit in front of him. And again, the Rama, following his girsa before, explains that Rava was saying if the shomer swore falsely, then as baal din. And now the question is, what about if he didn't yet swear because lohi nichu, do we say that he's considered a gazlan or not? So the Gemara says teku. So we're not sure about that. Whether again he planned to swear falsely, but he didn't actually yet. Whether he's still considered a baal din. The fact is he didn't swear yet, so maybe when the owner finds out that in fact it wasn't later on, he finds out that it wasn't like he was, and the owner doesn't trust him anymore. So that was one version. Rav Kahana Masni, that was how Rav Kahana learned Rava's question. Rav Tavyumi learned Rava's question. He had a different version of Rava's question. Boy Rava Nishba La Sheker Mahu. Rava is asking, what about if he actually swore falsely? Do we say that since he swore falsely, he's going to eventually regret it and pay, and therefore now when he goes and finds the ganav and confronts him, that should be considered a valid tvia, or maybe not, because the fact is he swore falsely. And according to that, then the answer would be teku. So according to Rav Tavyumi's version, there's no question that if he didn't swear yet, he still has his nemonus. And now if the ganav is moided to him, then the ganav is potter from kafel. The question would be, what if the shomer actually did swear falsely, whether at that point, if the ganav is moided to him, he's potter from kafel or not? Okay. Here's another case. Tav'u bailam l'shomer. What about the owner says to the shomer, give me back my thing. v'shilim, and he paid v'hukar aganav, and later on we found the ganav. Tavuhu bailim v'hoida. Now we have the other way around. The owner goes and takes the ganav to Beis Din, and he admits that he did steal it. Tovish shomer v'kofar, and then the other way around, the shomer came and took him to Beis Din, and he denied it. V'hevi edim, and the shomer brings edim that in fact he had stolen it. So now the question is, Nifter Ganav Bardas Bailam Eloi. Before we ask the question whether the Ganav can be potter on the grounds of the Hodah to the Shomer, now we can ask, can he also be potter instead on the grounds of the Hodah to the owner? Mi Amrinan, Motzi Omele Shomer LeBailam, can the Shomer say to the owner, Atum, Kivin de Shaklitu Lechudomi, Istaltitu, Istaliktu Lechumehacha? The Shomer can say to the owner, look, I already paid you, so you're out of the picture already. So therefore, now the kefal of the ganav should belong to me, and the fact that he was murdered to you has no bearing on the matter. Or maybe the owner can say to the shomer the other way around. You know what? You did me a favor. You paid even though you could have gotten away with the shvuah. So therefore, I figured I'll do you a favor in return. So I'm going to go look and go to the trouble of finding the ganav. Shakalna anan didan. So I got mine. I had my tviya against him. So I got mine, namely, you paid me at the time. So now you can take yours. And the purpose is that you can take yours, meaning, in other words, that now I can, you can be reimbursed for what you paid me. So I will go find the ganav, and that way, at least, you'll get back what you paid me. You paid me back a keren, so you'll get back that, but not necessarily do you get a kefal because of that. I still have an interest over here, and therefore, when he was murdered to me, it's a valid hodah, and therefore, there's no kefal for you to be getting. Or maybe we don't say that. Now a couple of interesting things in this. First of all, the Ramah brings a different explanation of the suffix. The owner can say, since I went to the trouble of finding the ganav, then I can say, I never intended to be machni you the kefal in the first place, so fine, I'll give you your kerem that you paid me, but I'm going to keep the kefal that I get from this ganav, or maybe not. But there is a very interesting point in this connection. This whole point in Hamafgid over there about whether the owner, about who gets the kefal, the shomer or the owner, really depends on. Now the Rambam learns that the shomer never owns the actual pekodin. The extent is, it's like Dekel LePeroisev, it's like he's saying that the same way as I can sell you a tree, or I can give you a tree, where you don't own the actual tree itself, only the peris of it, the same way here he's saying you don't own the actual animal, only the potential kefal of it. Whereas Tosfos over there learns that it means that he's actually marking him the pekodin itself. So now, on the face of it over here, then when the owner says shakalna anandidan, I'm taking back mine. So according to the Rambam, it's easy to understand what he means by mine. It is my animal after all. You, the shomer, only ever owned it as far as the kefal. But how would Tosfos explain it? Chidushi Anshe Shem points out, on the contrary, our Gemara seems to work out better with Tosfos. According to the Rambam, then why is the Gemara even asking whether the owner is still considered a Baal Din over here? Of course he's a Baal Din, it's still his animal. So therefore, our Gemara, he says, the Chidushi Anshe Shem says, would actually work out better according to Tosfos. In any case, though, the point is that, so that's the question. Now, can the owner say, on one hand, the shomer can say that I already paid you, owner, so therefore you're out of the picture. The ganav was murdered to you. That has no bearing on him paying me the kefal. On the other hand, the owner can say that I still have an involvement over here because I figured that it's my job to go and find the ganav. So you gave me my payment. Now you'll be, I found the ganav, now you'll be able to collect your keren from him, but you're not collecting kefal from him because he already admitted to me. Or according to the Ramah, the vote is that the owner is saying that the keren you'll get, but the kefal you're not going to get because you paid for the keren after all, but the kefal you're not going to get. I'm not mocking you the kefal in that case, since I had to go to the trouble of finding the ganav. And again, the Gemara says, tefal, we leave that question open as well. So as usual, then it will be, then the Meshomer is not getting the kefil, but if he was toifer, etc. Okay. Another din. It's right. Nikneva ba'oinus. How about if the animal was stolen ba'oinus? So a list in Mizuyan, for hooker a ganav, and then we find the ganav, and we're able to get the gneva away from him. Before we were talking about that we have to maybe, so in other words, he's the kind of ganav, he's tough enough that, for example, it was an oinus, he came with a sword or a gun or whatever, but now, on the other hand, we're able to take him to Beis Din and get back the gneva from him. So Amar Abaye, im shomer chinam hu, if the original shomer was a shomer chinam, rotza oise im din. Then he has a choice. He can take the ganav to Beis Din and get back the gneva and return it to the original owner, or he could swear, because after all it's an oinus and he'd be potter in that case. But Abaya says if he's a shomer sachar, he has to take the guy to Beis Din. It's true he's potter from oinsin, but nevertheless, as a shomer sachar, he has a higher degree of responsibility, and therefore he's going to have to actually go to the trouble of taking this ganav to Beis Din and getting it back from him. That's according to Abaya. The ein nishba, he can't swear and be potter. Rava Amar echad zeh oisei imedin ve ein nishba. Rava says either way, shomer chinam or shomer sachar, he's going to have to go to the trouble of taking the guy to Beis Din. The ein nishba, he can't swear, because now that the ganav has been found, then so Rashi says the vote is he's not losing anything from it. So all of the tiroyach achareha. So now, in other words, he won't lose anything if he's going and to the tircha of it. So therefore, so he has to pay the owner, and then he's going to go take the ganav to Beis Din and get reimbursed by the ganav. But Amar points out also that if he doesn't, then it would be an example of pusheya. He would be careless because he has the ability to return it, and he's not. So the Gemara asks. Lema pliga abd Rabhuna ba oven. Do we have to say that Rava is arguing with Rabhuna ba oven, the Sholach Rabhuna ba oven, because Rabhuna ba oven sent a letter with the following din. Nignava ba'oinus, if the animal was stolen ba'oinus, v'hukara ganav, and then we find the ganav, im shomer chinam hu rotza oise im din rotza nishba, if the shomer was a shomer chinam, then he has his choice of taking him to Beis Din or Nishba. And if he's a Shema Socher, then he does a Din Torah with him and he doesn't swear. So that would be like a Baya. It seems to contradict Rava. The answer is, no, because Rav Huna Ba'oven's case is talking about where he already swore first, before the Ganav was found. Now, at that point, of course, he could swear. He didn't know where the Ganav was yet. So then, yeah, for sure, he swears. So now the question is, if later on we find the ganav, then what happens? In other words, Rava would be saying that if the shomer already swore, then as a shomer chinam he's potter from taking him to Beis Din, and if he's a shomer sachar, even though he swore, he's still chayav to take the guy to Beis Din. The difference being, in other words, the Rama makes a point. The Shitim Kovetzis brings from the Rama makes a point. That the Shomer Chinam, once he swore that he wasn't Pesheya, that's it, his Shmita is over, so now he doesn't have any further obligation. The Shomer Socher is really just, by swearing, he's showing that it was Ba'onis, so he's not Chayav to pay, but he still has a responsibility to find the Pekadim. So that would be the case that Rav Huna Ba'oven is talking about, where he already swore, and now the question is what happens after that. The question is, what do you mean? What do you mean? Rav Huna Ba'oven used the expression, if he wants, he can bring the guy to a din Torah. If he wants, he can swear, implying that he hasn't sworn yet. And if we're talking about that, if we're talking about that he swore before the ganav was ever found, then it's not like he has a choice to swear or to bring the guy to Beis Din, because he doesn't know who he is. So the answer is, Hachi Kama. Rava would say what Rav Huna Ba'oven means, Rotsa Shomer Chinam, if the Shomer Chinam wants, Oymed b'shvuasa, he can still maintain the tour that he has because of his shvua. He can say, look, I swore before the ganav ever was found, so now I want to maintain my tour because of that, and I shouldn't be obligated to go take the ganav to Beis Din and collect it from him. You, Baldin, you owner of the animal, do that if you want. Rotza, oisei medin, but if he wants, he can say, you know what, it's true, I swore, and technically I should be potter, but instead I'm willing to pay you, the owner, and then I'll go take the ganav to Beis Din. So Rav Huna Ba'oven can mean that. That doesn't contradict the point. Rava is saying, if he hadn't sworn yet, that we would say, because you haven't sworn yet, you're still the shomer, you still have a responsibility to go get it back from the guy. Okay. And the Gemara says, Rabba Zutti boy lohochen. Rabba Zutti had the following question that relates to all of the previous cases. Nignava ba'ones, if the animal was stolen by an ones, by a list in the Zurian, like we said, the hechzir ganav, the base shomer, the ganav returned the animal to the house of the shomer, and then it died as a result of the shomer being careless. Mahu is the shomer chayim. Mia minan kivin the nignava ba'onas kalyalei shmira. So do we say once it was stolen ba'onas, then at that point the shmira is over. So now when he returns it to his rishos, he's not still considered a shomer on it, and his pshia is not the pshia of a shomer. It's the pshia of a nobody. So therefore he's not chayev. Oydilma kivin the hodra, or maybe once he returned it. I mean, Kevin Dahadra, Hadra the Shmira, say, maybe once he returned it, then he resumes his Shmira from before, and therefore is Chayiv in Pshia. So the Tosfos Rosh and the Pnei Yeshua talk about, are we talking about a Shem Chinam, or are we talking about a Shem Sachar, are we talking about a Shem Chinam only? So the Gemara says, Teku, also, this is a Sopik, what would happen in that case, given that, again, there was an interruption in his shmira. Now, when the Ganav returns it to him, is it considered that he resumes his shmira, or is it not? So it's left as a suffix if now, after that, he was Pesheya, what happens? So these are all various dinim that we've been discussing as far as a shomer, where, again, many of these dinim of a shomer really belong in Bava Metzia, but because we were dealing with Toyin Tainus Ganav and various permutations of paying kefal, which primarily belongs here in Bava Kama, is why the Gemara was bringing them all here in Bava Kama.